Hey, this is Emily Rice, composer of the Netflix original series The Island, and you're listening to The Annotator.
Welcome to The Annotator, where composers share their thoughts and stories about their original scores. This is episode 94, where composer Emily Rice talks about her original score for the Netflix series The Island. This is Christopher Coleman, and you can find all episodes of this podcast at theannotator.net. Emily Rice is a British-born composer for film and TV who started her musical life as a cellist, playing in orchestras and rock bands. Rice has previously served as an assistant to several elite film composers, including Brian Tyler, James Newton Howard, Laura Cartman, and as a writing assistant to Junkie XL. Her music can be heard in Hollywood blockbusters such as Tomb Raider and Alita Battle Angel, and she's garnered several orchestration credits including The Mummy, Altered Carbon, and Star Trek Discovery. Rice recently completed her first TV show for the Netflix series The Island, which was released on September 12, 2019. The Island is an American science fiction thriller television miniseries created by Anthony Salter. The series stars Kate Bosworth, and in the show, 10 people wake up on the beach of what appears to be a deserted tropical island. None of them have any memory of who they are or how they got there, and each takes on the name that is printed on their clothes tags. They set off on a trek to try to get back home, only to discover the world is not as it seems. In this episode, Emily Rice talks about having her score for The Island walk a delicate balance somewhere between music and sound design. She reveals how she crafted her score to touch on various elements of the series, the humans, the mystery, and the sci-fi. And Rice also reveals how an old song from Bonnie and Clyde becomes one of the many heavily processed sources in her original work.
So, to start off with, this is The Raft, and it's one of the longer cues from the show, around 4 minutes. I shouldn't, like, really pick favorites, but maybe this cue might be one of my favorites, or maybe one of the most meaningful to me, just because after I wrote the main title, which was the first thing that I wrote for the show, this is the first actual cue that I wrote. Yeah, this is where I started, and this is actually the opening scene for the second episode. I scored the whole of episode 2. I can't remember why. For some reason, that's what we started with. And then, you know, I went back to episode 1, then 3, 4, 3 to 7. So what actually happened was, so I scored the main title, and then I sat down and I had a little sort of mini recording session at my home studio, and I recorded a bunch of sort of little mini themes and motifs and sounds that I thought would come in handy for the show, and that was, I'm originally a cello player, and so I recorded a bunch of cello, all sorts of things like scrapy noises, proper playing, pizzicato, like everything I could think of. And alongside that, we did some bowed guitar, and also some conch shells. We recorded a larger conch shell and a small conch shell. And so one of the things that I knew after watching all the episodes is that I really wanted the score to very much have a sort of musical sound design feel to it, in that I wanted it to feel and sound like music, but I didn't want it to be like, oh, that's an orchestral score, oh, that's an electronic score. I wanted it to sort of fall somewhere in the middle and to be kind of raw. And I think throughout the score there are moments like that are slightly more aggressive, and then there are moments that are much more calm and intimate and emotional. Oh, and actually I set myself one rule for the whole score, and that was I couldn't use anything straight out of the box. So if it was something that came from a MIDI like library somewhere, it had to be messed with a lot. That there was nothing that was just straight up out of the box, and I think that really helped contribute to the sound as well. And so that's what I had in mind when I sat down and recorded everything. And I think, you know, I just hit record and I just played a lot of stuff and I kept everything. And so every time I would go in and start a cue, I would trawl through all of this and, you know, find the little things that I thought were going to be useful throughout the whole 7 episodes, but really just never trashed anything at all. And so luckily when I started putting some of it up against picture, it stuck, and you know, really all of these sounds that I use and incorporate into the score, they really help us land in the world of the island, and that's really what I was going for. So going back to this cue, the raft, specifically for a sec, there's no dialogue in this scene. It's the opening thing of this episode, and so I was able to be really quite detailed and use some of the more intricate sounds. I remember doing a harmonic glissando up and down on the cello and thinking, oh, when am I going to be able to use that? And this scene really gave us space for that. And you know, the cue obviously covers a few different vibes, and as the storytelling develops and opens up, it gave me a really wonderful way in to the show, and I'm so glad this is what I started with. I knew it was going to be one of the first scenes that I was going to send back to my producers to preview along with the main title, and I knew that I really had to musically drop them into the world of the island and what I thought that world should sound like. So this next cue is called The Storm, and it goes into a flashback, and it was an important cue for me, mostly because it was an important cue for the producers on the show, which, you know, is as good a reason as any. What's happening in this scene is a storm is approaching the island, and it represents one of the first real threats that the group has to face together. And then the scene goes directly into a flashback where Chase's character sees her mother, who we later find out was accidentally murdered, and this whole scenario is something that's clearly haunting Chase's character. The flashback is the first in a series of flashbacks, and I felt that it was important to give them their own sound, not only to mark them out as flashbacks, but to also add a sense of the darkness and the mystery and kind of the potential horror that we have in the show. The show is a sci-fi thriller, so the flashbacks felt like a great opportunity to start hinting at the genre musically, and I did this mostly through the use of a kind of metal percussive rhythm, which I sort of layered with itself. You can just hear it just starting there, kind of panning around, and once I layered it, I then offset it against itself, so it always feels slightly off and almost as though it's falling over itself. And alongside that, you can hear there's a resampled cello thing that's heavily processed and is gradually pitch shifting downwards. And then it's occasionally interrupted by these big drum hits. So I think that it achieves that sort of darkness and slight horror that we were going for pretty well. So this is a cue from episode 3 where we're taken off the island for the first time, and we enter the world of what we discover to be a prison. So the island pays you back is a dialogue heavy scene, so the music just gently kind of just sits under everything, and really what I was trying to do was to hint at the sinister reality of the island, and during this scene that's what we're learning about from the warden. There's kind of some heavily processed short high vocals and some sort of little glissando gestures, and part of the reason that I wanted to process a lot of the instruments and sound so much is that I wanted everything to sound slightly kind of imperfect, and you know, all of our characters are flawed, and so I wanted that to be reflected in the music. So there's a lot of dissonant movement, glissandos where notes seem to fall away from themselves, and things are a bit gritty and raw. So musically speaking, this cue is just meant to be a little bit inquisitive. And we're still getting to know the warden, and we're uncovering more information about what's going on in real time with our main character, Chase. And yeah, just before then there, you heard the warden's rattle again. So as the title indicates, for the burial, this scene shows an act that I think is a very basic human instinct in terms of how we deal with death. It's natural to want to have a burial or ritual of some kind, so I wanted to keep the music equally simplistic. By this point in the score, we're in episode 4, and I'd already introduced vocals in episode 3, so decided to continue using them, not just for the prison environment, but elsewhere. And the vocalist, by the way, is a very talented friend of mine, Anna Edgington, who she's British, but she's based in New Zealand, and she's a amazing vocalist, beatmaker, and producer. So for this, I decided to keep the music, for the most part, to two very simple lines, the vocal on top and the cello and other bass range instruments taking a bass line that's mostly moving in contrary motion to each other, which I think really, for me, that's always added a lot of emotion to music when you have that contrary motion. And this scene is another pivotal moment in the show, not only in that the characters are burying one of their group, but they're also deciding to split the group up, really for the first time. Some of them want to travel to the other side of the island to look for better shelter and food. So I knew that this cue had to have something kind of a little different to it, and needed to be a moment of reflection, slightly more significant reflection. And I think, you know, really we got there by going super intimate with the human voice. And I'm a cello player, so I have a natural kind of bias towards feeling that the cello is also very intimate. And the cello is also the instrument which, you know, most closely resembles the human voice in terms of range. So it was a very deliberate pairing. And I, for me, compared to the rest of the score, this cue has always kind of stood out a little bit. As I mentioned a bit earlier, the show has a series of flashbacks, and some of these are in the form of what appear to be dreams or nightmares, and others are to give a bit of a backstory on each of the characters. By this point, we know that each main character was a criminal on death row in real life, and that they've signed up to this program, and the island is a simulation that's giving them each a potential road to redemption. So at specific points during the show, we get these different types of flashbacks that give us an insight into the crimes each of the characters committed that made them end up on death row. And for me, Casey's character was always one of the most compelling. So when I first watched this scene, before I started working on the show, I watched all 7 episodes, and I remember kind of marking this in my brain, thinking, oh, that's going to be an interesting one to do, having sort of seen Casey's story from the beginning of the season all the way through to the end. And so I knew she was going to have her own theme, which is essentially a chord series, which I think you can hear right now. It's a chord progression, and then it's sort of a signature sound that I don't think is in this cue, but it appears elsewhere as a very heavily processed cello pizzicato. So at the beginning of the series, Casey comes across as very distant and cold, and it's hard to have any love for her, even before you know what her crime is. But one of the amazing things about the show for me is the amount of empathy I ended up feeling for her by the end. So in this scene, we're obviously given a little window into her past, and the cue started off a little dark and aggressive, and then it sort of soon calms down and becomes more intimate. She's psychologically and physically abused, and by going more intimate with the music, I was really trying to underline the psychological rather than the physical elements of her abuse. And I felt the intimacy of the music, you know, again using vocals, added this sort of level of empathy for her, which I wasn't expecting to feel myself, but eventually did. And this is also one of the more harmonically full cues, which was deliberate in that I really wanted to get some emotion across and to really feel for Casey and her situation. And although her crime is arguably one of the most horrific of all the characters, you know, you still get to a point of empathy with her, and it's a difficult scene to watch. I was trying to remember, like, some of the sounds that I'm hearing in the cues. I'm trying to remember where they actually came from, because some of the things that I recorded, they've been so heavily processed at this point that I can't remember if it was a cello or a guitar or, you know, a conch that we've then reversed and distorted. It's funny to listen back since finishing the scoring and trying to remember where they all came from. And I think the next little bit coming up here. We've got some, yeah, vocal, dissonant little swells, and then some kind of aggression. We sort of move back into slightly more classic thriller kind of scoring, before then going back down into the emotional stuff with the cellos that again sound slightly off. So Taylor Island is a cool little cue and has some interesting sounds in it that I think are pretty unique. The higher pitch rhythmic pulse, is actually made up of some of Anna's vocals. She had a cold when she did some of her recording for me, and I would always have her send me all of her raw files, which I think she secretly hated me for. One of the files included her kind of coughing, and so I decided to take that through a bunch of processing on it, you know, looped it around and came up with that kind of percussive element that I thought would be a cool rhythmic element to add. The more musical element, which is a four note motif that goes from D up to F, back down to D, then up to A flat, making a D diminished chord, is the Bonnie and Clyde motif, and that later gets attached to the Warden, seeing as he's responsible for Bonnie and Clyde. They sort of share motifs, and it crops up at moments whether or not those characters are on the screen or not, so I kind of use it to hint at those guys causing mischief even if they're not physically on screen. So this is kind of a long, drawn-out moment of that motif. That's that D. And it's about to go up to the F. There. And it's going to go back down to the D, and then back up to the A-flat in a second. And the way I actually made that motif is it's made from a really old song about Bonnie and Clyde, and I processed the crap out of it, stretched it, reversed it, pitch shifted it until it was completely unrecognisable, and then listened back to the whole thing and found moments where I could hold on to an actual tone for a moment, and then pitch shifted it again specifically around those notes. No Chickens, which Taylor Island went straight into No Chickens. You can hear both that coughing rhythm and the Bonnie and Clyde motif. So that's a little musical snapshot into music for the island, and I hope you'll check it out on Netflix, where it's now streaming. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to The Annotator with composer Emily Rice and her original score for the Netflix series The Island. The original score for The Island is not currently available. You can find out more and hear more music by Emily Rice at her official site, EmilyRiceMusic.com, or you can follow her on Twitter at EmRiceMusic. The Annotator is produced by me, Christopher Coleman, and you can find more episodes at TheAnnotator.net, or you can subscribe wherever quality podcasts are found. Wherever you do listen, we'd love for you to leave us a rating or a review, and if you think someone you know might enjoy The Annotator, please let them know about the show. And thank you to all those who have been rating and reviewing and sharing. It means a lot to us as more and more people are getting word and starting to listen. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Audio Annotator or on Facebook or Instagram at The Annotator. Or we'd love to get your feedback via email, and you can send that to theannotatorpodcast@gmail.com.